toxic positivity is completely ignoring reality and only focusing on the positive, because I believe in two paradigms. Like, you need negative to have positive, and I also believe in growth. And so when you to completely ignore what the reality is, positive and negative, I think that actually hinders your growth to get to your ultimate positive goal.
This episode is brought to you by The Sales Evangelist. Improve your leadership skills, sales performance, or develop a successful mindset with one of their results-driven programs. Learn about upcoming programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training. That's thesalesevangelist.com/training. Have you heard about our Facebook group? It is a safe place for women leaders like you to come together, ask questions, and share insights and grow together. Come and join the community. One of our team members will personally welcome you to the group. Simple search, The Interrupt Community on Facebook. That's INTHERRUPT. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I have Alma Hooks joining me today. I'm talking about dealing with negative thoughts. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. And today it is my pleasure to have Alma Hooks with us today. Welcome, Alma.
Thank you so much. Hi, Linda.
Well, I am so excited, maybe may not be the right word about this particular topic, but I am so fascinated with how the brain works and what we think about becomes our reality. And I am looking forward to your thoughts and understanding and experiences with this topic. And that is how to deal with negative thoughts. So I'm sure you've never had negative thoughts, right, Alma?
Ever. I don't even know why I'm sitting here right now. I'm always positive.
Okay. Yeah. We might have to change that. But anyway, let me tell you all a little bit about Alma A. Hooks. She is a talented senior level consultant with 15 years of progressive leadership experience in strategic planning, diversity and inclusion, employee management and cultural change management experience. She's been hanging around HR for a minute or two. And best of all, I love this. I love this in your bio. She's a hashtag boy mom. I love that. How many boys do you have?
Just one.
Just one. And how old is he?
He's 5 years old. He is absolutely my world. I am now a soccer mom, which I never thought I'd be. So just enjoying the journey.
That is so awesome. So We've just recently had Halloween. What did he dress up as, or did he dress up? I guess I shouldn't assume.
Yes, because he has a grandmother, he 100% dressed up.
Love it.
So he was Spider-Man. Ever since Spider-Man became Miles Morales, he is obsessed. So
that's what we were. Yeah. I love that. I think that's awesome. Yeah, we had 110 trick-or-treaters. It was actually down from last year. So we were over 150 last year. So yes, I count them. I know I'm kind
That's
of
That's so funny. So I'm the mom who tries to limit sugar and don't keep a lot of candy around the house. So obviously Halloween was very different for me. But, my family was like, let the kid be a kid. Talk about negative thoughts. So
fine. Oh, that's awesome. That's so great. So if you would, why don't you tell us about your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is an interesting one because within the DEI space, I often talk about reprogramming your subconscious, because that is what, contributes to anywhere from 80 to 85% of our decisions. And so I was constantly teaching this, and then I had to actually reflect on myself, whereas I might not have unconscious bias on various dimensions of diversity, but I have unconscious bias on how I make decisions and the thoughts that I have and the conversations I have with myself. So I've been on this journey for about 5 years around the time my son was born, because I didn't really have the image of myself of being like this mom married with kids, and that's the life I was living. So I dealt with the transition of my own image in mm-hmm. like redefining who I'm going to be after leaving corporate America to be home with a mom. And so it really started there with how am I going to start perceiving myself in this new image as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner. And so it really started with writing and journaling at first. And then I started taking courses and just expanding it. And still struggle with it today, right? Like it's a journey. So it's not a check the box that I'm done. But I feel like I'm light years better now than where I was when I first started my motherhood journey.
That's great. So you have, like I said, you're not a stranger to HR. So tell us kind of about your HR journey and the things that you've done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So within HR, I started off as director of internship development for a Fortune 100 organization where I built their internship program from scratch. It was the only one they had in that region. And I was the youngest person on staff. I was the only Black person on staff and one of few women. So thinking of self-deprecating thoughts, like I really didn't realize what that was and just thought I had to work harder. I went to grad school, continued my journey, became an HR manager, had over 150 people reporting to me. Did some really cool things around culture change and diversifying who we hire and our policies and processes and all of those things because culture has always kind of been my sweet spot. Got pregnant, had a baby, right? Got married, pregnant, baby, that whole thing. And then left corporate America. And that's how I fell into consulting. And it's really been, I feel like, a part of my destiny to go into organizations and help them navigate those negative thoughts they have about different people or different processes or age groups to really create an inclusive environment that has, you know, psychological safety and belonging for all people.
That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like is a negative thought? If you could put a definition to it or...
I think it's a thought that is doubting. Whether it's yourself, which I think it really starts there, whether it's a situation or another person. Now, sometimes we perceive that doubt as, oh, that's our gut feeling or our intuition. But the more work I do in this space, the more I understand how to check in with myself to see if it's based in fear, inferiority, right? Versus that intuition or that gut feeling guiding me otherwise. So I really think it starts with doubt and fear.
Okay, I love that. That's really fascinating with regard to that negative thought. So how have negative thoughts impacted you? Any stories or anecdotes that you've experienced?
Yeah, so I grew up in a single-parented household. And though my mom wound up building a successful business, it didn't start off that way. And so I understand what it's like to be poor, to struggle, to not know what it's like to eat, what I'm going to eat the next day. Like I understand that food insecurity. Funny thing, I have a little brother who's 6 years younger than me. He doesn't remember any of this. So his doubt looks a lot different than mine. But I've always been very conservative with how I spend or how I'm putting myself out there, how other people perceive me. And so that very idea and notion of fear because of finances has permeated itself throughout my life, whether it's I'm going to work and go to school, grad school full time versus applying to the school I really wanted to go to, but I knew I couldn't work. Or even, you know, contemplating quitting my job for a year before actually doing so because of that fear of, you know, financial security. Sure. So that has been a negative thought that has constantly persisted throughout my life and has also affected the decisions that I've made because it's the doubt of myself and what if and never wanting to experience what I experienced growing up.
You know, that's a really great point, that scarcity aspect and how it can permeate whatever it is, can permeate all sorts of different aspects of your life. How have you like managed that or through that? Dealt with that.
So before I go into like how I've taken courses on it, I started a practice of the worst thing that can happen. So I will journal like what's the absolute best thing that can happen from me making this decision and what's the absolute worst thing that can happen from me making this decision. And you know, I often see that the absolute worst thing is probably the least realistic thing that's going to happen. I am also a woman of faith. So my faith like leads me in a very, very major way. Like every morning I'm up praying and reading the Bible and those type of things. But the third thing that has helped me quite a bit is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with John Kehoe, and he is a speaker and author that talks about, you know, manifestation, but the science behind it, because I am very like data science driven. I was a finance major. So speaking of just emotion and high level doesn't always resonate with me. But when you talk about the science of the brain and the quantum reality and how you can literally work on different exercises to help you manifest or to help you navigate those negative thoughts, whether it's replacing the negative thought immediately with the positive one, whether it's the best or the worst thing that can happen, whether it's meditating, affirmations, like all of those individual techniques have really helped me when I find my mindset maybe getting into the negative.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So, and in fact, you kind of answered the next question that I had for you on that. I had never thought about journaling. What's the worst thing that could happen? And I assumed, have you done what's the best thing that can happen too? Have you done both?
I always do best and worst. So I do worst. And I started seeing a pattern of my worst. And the pattern was always like, I'm on these streets, I'm poor, and I can't live a wonderful lifestyle, right? Like that's all usually the worst. There's so many steps before you get there. So that's why I think journaling is important, because you start to see the patterns of what your fear is, like what your primary fear is. I always do the best. I visualize the best, like definitely exist in the best. But I also think it's important to address the worst, because that's that thought in the back of your head anyway.
Sure. Yeah, right. Whether you want to acknowledge it out loud or not, right? Right. Or to other people, perhaps.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break with Alma. We'll be right back. As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC Training Programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC Training Programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training. Welcome back, everyone. I'm visiting with Alma Hooks today on dealing with negative thoughts. So how can you help someone on your team that may be struggling with negative thoughts? And maybe three tips, if you would, in a way that you can help lead someone, help coach, mentor, you know, whether you're a formal leader or not.
Great question. Studies show that women and people of color deal with negative thoughts in the workplace more than anyone else. And so when I think about that, the first suggestion would be get a coach or a mentor so you can have a sounding board to at least talk these things through. Because some things are just in our head, but some things are valid too. I don't believe in being toxically positive. And so that mentor or that coach can help you navigate what's positive, what's not, what's real, what's not, but also come up with an action plan to work on maybe one of those negative thoughts that have some validity to it. So get a mentor or a coach is number one. Number two, I would say take different assessments to really understand what your strengths are. Because when you really understand your strengths, you can either coach yourself up or you can engage with your leader based on what your strengths are. You are able to speak to that. And so then you can speak life to yourself when you might feel like you're struggling somewhere. A perfect example is oftentimes introverts have negative perceptions in the workplace and they're not seen to be leaders, right? But if you're constantly telling yourself, oh, I'm an introvert, so I can't go to that networking event. I'm an introvert, so I can't have this one-on-one. That's not going to get you to next. But if you tell yourself, I'm an introvert and my strength lies in intimate conversations or intimate connections with people, that's a much different dialogue and narrative that you can speak to your own strengths. So that's number two. Take whatever assessment you need to understand what your strength is. And number three, I would say just positive affirmations on who you want to be. If you see a person that you admire in the workplace, or you have a certain characteristic that you're really working on, positive affirmations for who you want to be and visualizing yourself for who you want to be. Because as you mentioned earlier, the science of our brain will help make that happen.
Oh, those are great tips. Yeah, I love that. And I love that too, that you brought out about being an introvert. I know different clients I've worked with and even different colleagues and friends even that proclaim, I'm an introvert. And I think sometimes they hide behind that. And rather than look at that, also, quite frankly, as a strength. And I love that, that you looked at that. Now, I'm curious a little bit about toxic positivity. Would you kind of explore that a little bit? Since we're talking about negativity, let's talk about toxic positivity. What is that?
Yeah. So this is Alma's definition. This is not like Oxford Dictionary definition, but I think toxic positivity is completely ignoring reality and only focusing on the positive, because I believe in two paradigms, like you need negative to have positive. And I also believe in growth. And so when you completely ignore what the reality is, positive and negative, I think that actually hinders your growth to get to your ultimate positive goal. So ignoring reality is my definition of toxic positivity. And I'll add, this is one of the ways that a lot of people in the workplace, especially employees, feel invalidated with their experience, because their leaders are like, nope, this is the greatest thing ever, or nope, you don't have any issues, or nope, we're all treated the same. This is the greatest place to work ever. And that might be their experience, but because they're so toxically positive, they are incapable of acknowledging and validating someone else's experience that might be different than theirs.
Oh, that's a great point. So then with regard to the leader, how can a leader have that brought forward in a way that they can then move through that and work through that? What do you think?
So oftentimes as a consultant, I'm the one helping them navigate that. My approach is typically very direct and upfront. So if they're like, this is the greatest place ever, I'm like, have you heard your employees also say that? Or is that just you? You know what I mean? But I think a great way, so practical tools. Surveys. So employee surveys are one of the easiest ones, anonymous surveys, to get that data back to you and see trends and patterns. Focus groups are also known as listening sessions is another way, where you have a third party come in and they ask the employee specific questions to learn more about their lived experiences. Leaders having one-on-ones with their team is another really great way. And I'm not going to say never, because it's too definitive, but I will say it's difficult when you just open it up to someone, you know, like, oh, what's going on? Or how can I support you? Or just tell me what you love. Tell me what you don't. I think being specific on what's one thing you love about this place and what's one area you feel could improve, it allows them to speak to both. And a leader also opening it up for feedback for themselves. Like, we constantly give feedback to others, but hey, this is something I'm working on. So showing that vulnerability. And have you seen this show up for you? Or do you have any suggestions on how I can work on this? Or so having it be a two-way conversation versus just the monologue are other ways that you can help navigate that.
That's awesome. That leader showing that vulnerability. I think really powerful. That is really great. All right. As we said, we've kind of been talking about this negative. We talked a little bit of toxic positivity. But how have positive thoughts helped you in your journey?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, positive thoughts are why I'm sitting in front of you today. Like, I am an introvert. I am a person that prefers to listen to others versus speak about myself. I have been the one to say, why would I have a social media page? I'm not that interesting, right? Like, I'm just a mom going to soccer practice, like, not that cool. And so the positive thoughts of, yes, you have a voice. Yes, you have something to say. Yes, if you just help one person, you have done the right thing. All of those type of thoughts is why I'm sitting in front of you today. When I'm dealing with clients, I'm often the youngest. I'm often the only Black person. I am often one of the few women, especially when I'm speaking to executive leadership teams. And so at one point, that was a point of contention for me, like, oh, I felt inferior. But at another point, I'm like, positive thoughts. actually, a lot of these people are complaining about millennials. So why not give them the millennial perspective on how they can navigate generational differences? Why not use my experiences of being a woman and most times the only woman of color in a room? Why not use that to leverage help within an organization? So again, those are some of the ways positive thoughts have helped me show up.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. I love that phrase too. Positive thoughts help you show up. So yeah. that's awesome. So have you ever been interrupted? Well, before we go there, what would you say to our leaders, whether they're in leadership or they're aspiring to be leaders? What do you feel like in your experience and your journey is the most number one tool that they can have as a leader?
Know your superpower and double down on it. That would be number one, right? So know what you're really good at. Like Shonda Rhimes says, don't be afraid to brag. Most women don't brag. Right? Like, know what it is and speak to it and put yourself in situations to showcase it and talk to it and know how to leverage it and know how you can become a resource. I would say that's number one. Oftentimes I hear like, oh, well, we don't have the title or we're not a leader. So that's why we didn't say anything. No, we're all leaders, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or CEO. So how can you leverage your brilliance to help someone else? That's number one. Number two would be know what your priorities are. And be unapologetic about it. Like, I am a mom and I am not taking a meeting at 7 o'clock because I'm watching my son at soccer practice. That's it. Now I'll take it at 9 after he goes to bed, right? Like at that, but that's my space. And anyone who engages with me knows very clearly what's important to me and what my boundaries are and where I'm not bending and I'm unapologetic about it. At first, I felt I was going to be stigmatized because of it. But again, those positive thoughts, being unapologetic and knowing what my superpower is, doubling down on it and knowing what I bring to the table has helped me in different spaces. So that can help you whether you are a leader or you're an aspiring leader. How can you engage and inspire others in the position you are in? I heard this quote, bloom where you were planted, and that has resonated with me for years.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal quote. I learned that many, many years ago. I've lived in a lot of different places and I've been blessed to have adopted that because it is hard moving to different,
I can imagine,
different experiences. And yeah, so, and you miss the old experiences, but yeah, I love that. So yeah, thank you. I forgot about that phrase. Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that too. Knowing your superpower. And if you don't know your superpower, guess what? Find it out, right?
Yeah. Find it out. You know, when I am coaching others and let's say they want to do another job because they're unhappy where they currently are, you know, I'll ask, what do you love to do and why? Right. And they start writing it down. Like if a genie could come here and just grant you your favorite job, what would that be? Why? Start writing it down. And then my next suggestion is, okay, how can you incorporate different components of what you love into your current job? Going back to bloom where you planted, because we often love things we're good at. So how can you leverage that where you currently are? And if you are transitioning, like you said, and you miss the old and you're feeling that change, whether it's a new leader, you're a new leader, new team, new organization, acknowledge what you've lost. Acknowledge why it sucks that you lost it, but also acknowledge the strengths from what you've learned and how you're going to use that to help people where you currently are.
Oh, that's great. So before we ask you kind of my two golden questions here, how has a negative thought spurred you on to reaching a goal?
Ooh, that's a good one. So this is when I was in corporate America. I can think of several as a consultant, but I grew up as an athlete, as a ballet dancer. So that drive, that negative feedback kind of helps drive me because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna show you, right? So... And so we had to close down a store, and closing down a store, it was not the best experience most times. Like historically, it hasn't been the best experience for people. And so I kept hearing these stories. People like, well, you're not going to be able to do this and you're not going to be able to do that. And you can't, right? Like all of these self-limiting theories and beliefs. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to show you, right? So I created a process and we were able to retain 80% of the people there. That was unheard of. So I would say telling me what I couldn't do, telling me what hasn't been done, really fueled me to find a way to, again, it's anchored in helping people.
That's great. That is great. So have you ever been interrupted?
Yes. So I'm going to look at this in two different ways. In the very typical ways that women are interrupted, like in meetings and such, right? And, you know, I have little ways of saying, you know, that was a great idea. That's very similar to what I was about to say. And then I finished what I was saying, or, sorry, not done yet. You know, little points like that. So in meetings, I find ways to navigate that to still let my voice be heard. In life, right before I had my son, or no, I'm sorry, 3 months into having my son, my grandfather passed away. And he was like my father figure. He was my hero. And I felt majorly interrupted because I'm like trying to figure out life as a mom and without him. And I'm sad and I'm, you know, kind of postpartum and like all of these different things that I had to navigate. So I felt a huge interruption during that point in time. And I will say my faith definitely helped me at that time. Therapy, so I believe in God and therapy, helped me. Reading books and again, thinking of what I do have versus what I don't have. So going back to those, navigating those negative thoughts really helped me during that time because it was a rough time for me.
Okay, great. Well, I loved your experiences and your tips and your insight. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. If anyone would like to connect with you, any of our viewers or listeners, how would you like them to do so?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, I'm A Hooks. You can find me on Instagram. I post quite a bit on there, just tips and tricks. I'm That Inclusion Lady on Instagram. So those would be the two best ways to contact me. Would love to connect with you.
All right. That's phenomenal. Great. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you today. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It was awesome visiting with Alma. I loved her tips, her scenarios, her stories, her insights. I got so much out of this episode. I know that you did as well. And I'd love to hear what negative thoughts you're working on in the comments of wherever you watch, listen to the show. I'd encourage you, if you haven't already checked out our YouTube channel, to do so and to subscribe. We'd be honored to have you do that. And also, we'd love to have you continue the conversation with us on our Facebook group page. I want to remind you that you have strengths waiting to uncover, possibilities to realize so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, y'all. Our show today was produced by TSC Studios. It was edited and mixed together by Jershawn Obel. Our show notes were created by Rael Ramirez. Our podcast guest coordinator is May Marr. Our episode artwork and social media posts were created by Desan Cunado. Our content editor is Michelle Roshman. And our podcast production coordinator is Shannon Rasmussen. Theme song was created by Ryan Rasmussen. These are all amazing individuals. You can also find audio credits for this episode and all the episodes in each of our show notes. And I am your host, Linda Yates, the Image Energizer. Have a great day.